Okay, we are up to Samach Vav 66. Okay, so we said yesterday, we had this, the Mishnah said that anything that a woman finds belongs to the husband. And then we had a fellow who quoted a brisa in front of Rava that said it was a machloikis, that the first Tana says that it belongs to herself, and it's Rabbi Akiva who says that it goes to the husband. And we said, how can that be when Rabbi Akiva even says that if she does a little bit extra overtime on the Maisi Odeho, when she works, she does a bit more, that goes to herself, is when she finds something, so that's not even related to work that she's supposed to be doing for the husband, is how much more so it should go to herself. So how can Rabbi Akiva be the one who says Labaila, and the Tanakhama says Le'atzma? So we answered Epoch. That is the other way around. Good, Moshe. That it's the other way around. That Rabbi Akiva is the one who says that it goes, that she gets to keep it if she finds something, and it's the other Tana, the Chachamim, whoever that might be, that say it goes to the husband. So that's where we left off yesterday. We are six lines from the top. V'haki osa, yeah? So the Gemara asks, one second, V'haki osa Rabbi Nomar Rabbi Yechanan. When Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, he told us that Rabbi Yechanan said that behadofa shalaya, there's two kinds of overtime. There's overtime which happens easily, that, you know, you're working, she's doing her five sloyim worth of wool, and the ball of wool had a bit of extra, so it was very easy to do a bit more. You know, sometimes you go a bit over time, it's not much effort. So that's called hadofa shaloi ayadei hadachak. When she does work, which is, she's, you know, she's good at her job, and she's doing what she's doing, and doing a little bit extra is not much extra effort for her. It's kuli alma lo pligi the baal. So everyone agrees that that goes to the baal hava, that it goes to the husband. Because it's really just part of these days they talk about a professional day. You're supposed to work 8 hours a day, but, you know, they expect you to work. You work a little bit more, and that one's, that's called a professional day. Yeah, because you don't work in a, because you don't work in a corporate office, that's why. So that, you know, but it's a day. So it's a little bit extra. They don't consider that to be an extra effort. That's just, it's part of the standard, is that sometimes you do a bit extra.
Just to keep your job.
Just, yeah, something like that. So therefore, everyone agrees that is part of the Maisi Odeho that the husband gets. Keep ligi ba'adofa shayadeh dechak. The argument is only if it's where she has to put in some really considered extra effort in order to get this extra earnings that she gets, yeah? It's Tanakama Savar Labaila. So that's where the argument is, that the first Tana says that even that is considered part of the overall professional day, and therefore it goes to the husband. And Rabbi Akiva Savar L'Atzmah. Akiva says, no, that's overtime, and overtime belongs to her. Oh, so what are we going to say now? Now, what about when she finds something? So she's walking along the street, whistling a tune, and all of a sudden she finds a diamond in the rough. Yeah? So is that ayadei hadachak? No, she didn't put any effort into it. A metzia, by definition, is something that you didn't work for, and you were walking along and you found something in the street. You found a suitcase full of money, whatever, yeah? So that should be under the rules of Mitzia Shaloya Yadea Dachak, which you didn't have to put an extra effort. And you just said that if it's working Yadea Dachak, Shaloya Yadea Dachak, everyone agrees that it goes to the husband. Yeah? So how come the Brisa says that there's an argument? You know, it doesn't follow. Yeah? You said that things that come easily, everyone agrees the husband gets. But how come they argue about a metzia? Is Omar Rav Papa says metzia, so when she finds something is kadofa, so yedeya dachak domi, which is pluta de Rabbi Kiva Rabbanon. it is that is not considered, your assumption that finding something is considered easy is not true. You have to work hard to get lucky. Yeah, who said the harder I work, the luckier I get? Mm-hmm. Can't remember who said it. Somebody famous. Yeah, somebody rich. What does that mean? Like Rashi says, that when you want to find things, you have to go looking for them. For example, you find fish, Rashi says, fish that were left on the land. So a fisherman went fishing, and some of the fish were caught in the net, and he pulled it out, and some of the fish fell out, and they're just lying there. But you have to go and find them. Or you have a deer that became lame, a tzvi shavur. So you don't just get it by itself, you have to put some effort into it. Yeah, or to look after treasure. You see those guys with their metal detectors walking along the beach, you know. It doesn't, you know, you have to put some effort. You don't find things for nothing. So therefore, your assumption that finding things is easy is wrong. You have to go looking for them.
I found coins and notes in my life without having to put effort.
Well, that's you. But generally, finding things, I never found anything. I never put any effort into it. I never find anything. Lo yagata, lo matzos.
Just picked up a $20 note a few months ago.
Okay, Yehuda, you're making this hard for me. The Gemara says, Rav Papa says, now Rashi says actually, rov mitzias, most things. Most things you have to put some effort into it. And therefore it's considered like work, which is through effort, and therefore that's where the machlokes is between Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakhama about who gets to keep it. Okay, next question was by Rav Papa. Rav Papa's question is, Osasa lo shtayim basachas. She was able to do two jobs at once. Mahu. Is that considered extra effort? And therefore, that would be the machlokes, or is it considered, no, she's so capable that she can do two jobs at once, well, that's just normal, ma'asya deha. So what's the deal? Rav Papa asked that question, and Ravina jumped on the bandwagon. Boy, Ravina, ashloisha yarba basachasma. What about if it's three or four things at once? In other words, if you would say that two is considered just normal, what about three or four? That's, you can't, are you going to say that that's also just no effort? So Rashi says, what's an example of doing three or four things at once? She's guarding the cucumbers, she's doing her weaving stuff, she's teaching a singing class to a bunch of women, and she's also warming up eggs
in her lap.
So all of those things she does, she could do at once. She's multitasking. So is that considered just normal work, or is that considered effort, extra effort? Is tekel. That question was too hard. We'll have to wait for future days to know the answer to that one. That's an interesting combination Rashi chose. Guarding the cucumbers, weaving the flax, and teaching the women how to sing. Okay, we move on. Now, Mishnah said, Boishto pagomo. So when one person causes damage to the other, so there were the five types of damages, one has to pay nezik, tzar, ripui, shevis, and boishas. And so he says, Boishta, and then Pagam. We have Pagam, which is also when the this is real, when a woman was there's the other things that we talked about in the other previous parak about the when she was injured, when she was assaulted, whatever it was, yeah. So you have embarrassment, and pagam literally means the blemish. So you used to pay for that. So the Mishnah said that it belongs to her, not to the husband. It's maskif lo rava barav chana ela meyata. So what are you saying? And Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira said, sorry. So the Tanakhama said it belongs to her. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira said they split it. If it's a hidden thing, it's two-thirds to her and one-third to him. If it's an open thing, two-thirds to him and one-third to her. In other words, you're saying that when it comes to embarrassment, yeah, and it's an open thing that everyone knows about it, everyone can see it, so he is more embarrassed than she is, yeah, even though it happened to her, whatever this thing was. So the question, according to Yehuda ben Maseira. So the question is, according to that logic, if I embarrassed your horse, yeah, that means that just like a, this is Don't tell the women this Gemara. If I embarrassed your wife, I have to pay you for the boishes. So therefore, Abba Zoy, if I embarrass your horse, I should also pay you for embarrassment of the horse. So the Gemara says, "Vesus bar boishes, who can you embarrass the horse?" I don't know what's going on here with this embarrassing the horse. A horse can't get embarrassed, so therefore, what a kind of a question is that? The question is, forget about the horse. The question is, Ella, rokak bebigdei shel chaveri. Let's say a person spits on his friend's garment. So if you spit on the other person, that's embarrassing. So you have to pay for embarrassment you caused. When you spit in someone's face, they get embarrassed. You have to pay for the embarrassment. What happens if you spit on their clothes? That means when they weren't wearing it. So if you spit on them when they're wearing it, that's the same as spitting on them. If you spit on their clothes, when they're not wearing it, is do you? So therefore, it's like it's not him himself, but it's his clothes. Is that embarrassment enough that his pay as hachanami? So if you say that a man is entitled to money because he did something to his wife, and the embarrassment spreads out to him also. Yeah, so he can be embarrassed by what happened to his wife because she's part of his family. So therefore, a person can be embarrassed if you spat on his clothes also. Yeah, is the hachinami the boy lemitun leboishes v'chite mohachinami? And if you'll say, yeah, pataki, you should pay embarrassment for that. But no, but the Mishnah says rokak v'giyu boyaroik. If a guy spat on him and it hit him. Yeah. He hit him with the spit. Upara Resha Isha, or somebody went and pulled off the lady's shaitel, like at Luna Park. Vehever Talisoy. You don't remember that story? Oh, okay. So that went right over your head then. That was a famous story. Famous story at Luna Park where somebody pulled off someone's shaitel. Anyway, Vehever Talisoy. Vehever Talisoy Mimen, or somebody pulled off his clothes, yeah? So all of those are different sorts of embarrassment that somebody causes. Is chayav lit on the arba mea zuz. So the value of those types of embarrassments is 400 zuz. So what was the story with the spitting on him? The yomar of papa leishanu el aboy. The whole spitting thing, the embarrassment being worth 400 zuz, is only if he spat on the person himself. Avo bebigdoi is potter. If he spat on his garment, then he doesn't have to pay for any embarrassment. So the chayra, if you're saying that embarrassment doesn't mean it has to be on the person himself, but it can be in his wider world. If you did something embarrassing like spitting on his wife, he's entitled to money. So therefore, if you spit on his clothes, he should have been entitled to money as well. But the Mishnah's implying that if you spit on the clothes, there's no boishes. So the Gemara answers with a very simple difference. But big day less lelizilusa. If you spit on someone's clothes, it doesn't make him feel cheapened and humiliated. But ishtay zilusa. If you spit on someone's wife, it makes him feel humiliated and embarrassed. So therefore, in that case, he has to get paid. If you spit on his clothes, he doesn't get paid.
As Hani puts the removal of clothes is like spitting on the clothes. So it's more embarrassment to remove the clothes.
It depends. It depends. Some people would be more embarrassed by someone spitting on them. Embarrassment is all according to the people. You can't judge what someone else is going to feel. Different people feel different types of embarrassment. Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. Ravina says to Ravashi, Ela meyata. So you're going to say it depends on how the feeling of humiliation is according to that. B'esh oni ben toivim. So therefore, if he embarrassed somebody who is a family that's very aristocratic family, yeah? So the isla hul zilusa lekula b'nei mishpacha. So the whole family gets embarrassed, yeah? Mm-hmm. When there's a scandal in the family and one person is embarrassed, that means the whole family gets embarrassed by it. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if you're saying it depends on... You said, why is it for the wife? Because he feels the embarrassment. For the clothes, he doesn't feel the embarrassment. So it all depends on what people feel. It's like, Bazoy, if you have a famous family and you embarrassed one of them, so therefore they all got embarrassed. Therefore you have to pay each one of them damages, the whole family. It's Amalei. So he answers him, no. The whole wider family is not him himself. So they can't claim damage. They can't claim damages for embarrassment just because they're embarrassed by association. because it's their relative. But a wife is different. Valhacha ishtai gufei hava. A wife is one body, one soul, one entity. And therefore, that's a special case of a wife, that if one embarrasses somebody's wife, then that is as if you embarrassed him himself, and he's entitled to be paid for that embarrassment. Oh, Mike is defective today. Okay. Says the Mishnah Vayter, ha-pesek mois l'chasnoi. Okay, so we're moving on now. We're getting back to stuff that goes into the ksuba. So what happened was, the shver had agreed to pay a certain amount of money in the ksuba to the son-in-law. Yeah, as part of the deal, the father of the bride makes a promise to give a certain money to the son-in-law. This happened at the time of Erisin, so they weren't fully married, but before they got around to Nisui, the son-in-law died. And now comes along the brother-in-law for Yibum. And he says, well, I inherit everything from my brother, including his wife, and therefore I want the dowry, I want all that money also. Is Omru Chachamim, so the rabbi said, Yachal Husha Yomar, the Shver can say, Liachicha Hayisi Reitze, I wanted to give this money to your brother as my son-in-law, but Valacha Eif Shilitain, but you, not so much. Yeah, so I'm not giving it to you. Yeah, so therefore he can say that. Yeah, it was a kinyan, but the kinyan was on condition. It was a conditional kinyan. The condition was that he assumed that they were going to complete the marriage, and the condition didn't happen. Therefore, he's not obligated, and he doesn't have to give it to the other brother. Now, poska lahachnis. Here's a little bit of fancy footwork. Poska lahachnis like 1,000 dinar. If the deal is that he's going to give $1,000, so it's cash. He writes actually dollars, yeah, or money, $1,000. Who pays a kenegdan chamesh esremona? It means really he's going to have to give. He's going to have to write in the ksuba. Then he has to write. He has to put in 15. So what happens when he writes in how much she brings into the marriage? What does that mean? That the assets are going to remain hers, and the fruits go to him. Yeah. So if she's bringing in $1,000, he's got to immediately write in the ksuba $1,500. Why? Because money is immediately available for investment. So as soon as he gets it, he's going to invest it. Yeah. So therefore, when she gives $1,000, he's got to write $1,500. To because he's really getting more because it's immediately available. But if it's not cash, it's just different objects, metaltalin, that he's bringing in. So they're evaluating how much that money is. So when people evaluate it, and they're a bit too generous because they want to make it look good. Yeah, because it's more honorable when somebody gives, let's say, 5 chickens. Yeah, so. So they write down, each chicken is worth $100. Yeah, a chicken's not really worth $100, but they want to make it look, good. So they say, I gave $500 worth of chickens. You gave, yeah. So therefore, when he writes it down in the contract, he writes down less, because otherwise, yeah, because he's not really giving him $500 worth of chickens. Is therefore, can I get a shum when it's something that's evaluated how much it's worth? He'll pay sek poches chomish. He writes down. Less a fifth, and a fifth. When the fifth in a Mishnah is usually a fifth, what we call a fifth miller bar, which means it's a fifth of the total once you've added the fifth on, so it's really a fourth. Yeah. So, yeah, I know. It's a fifth of, if you add on a quarter of something, then it's a fifth of the total amount that you have at the end. Yeah. So that's how they work out a chomish. So at any rate, that means that he writes down less. Because if she says $100 worth of chickens, she's really only giving him $80 worth of chickens. So in the ksuba, he writes that it was $80 worth of chickens. Yeah. Got it? Clear as mud? Shum. Now, what happens if she says, we're not doing any of that, we're actually going to get it properly evaluated, and what I'm bringing, when I say $100, it means $100. Shum b'mona v'shavimona. Yeah? So she says, I want to write in the ksuba, I'm going to give you something that's worth $100, and it really is worth $100, is then ein loy elamona. He can't say that because I have to write $100 in the ksuba, you have to give me more, because we said before that it's because of the money is available for. This is a shum valuation. Yeah, so we said that if it says in the ksuba $80, that means it was something that was evaluated for $100 because he writes in less. Yeah, but if she says I'm going to write it in what's exactly, he only gets exactly. He can't say. Well, if I wrote 80, it's got to be something that was evaluated at 100. He gets only that exact amount. There's a few different opinions of how to learn over here. There's one opinion that says that what does it mean that he actually writes that in the ksuba? That in the ksuba he writes that even though normally the valuation is bloated, not bloated, what's the word I want? Inflated, that's the word. Is inflated, but in this case it wasn't. Yeah? So in this case where it's not inflated, so that some say he actually writes that in the ksuba, an uninflated $100. So then he only gets that. Shum b'mona, if something that was evaluated for a mona, this is a bit repetitious, the Gemara is going to ask why he's repeating himself, but if, let's say, something without, which he didn't say, it's uninflated. And so in the normal case, it is inflated. So if it's written in the ksuba $100 or a mona is 25 slotim, which is 100 dinarim. So there's 4 dinars. Let's get this right. There's 4 dinars in a cellar. You asked about the currency the other day. 4 dinars in a cellar, 25 cellars in a mona. Yeah. So that means 100 dinars in a mona. So if he is saying that the evaluation written in the ksuba is 100, so we said that they, because it's inflated, so if it gets to be a mona in the ksuba, is he nesena shloshim ve'echad sela v'dinar. So now 100 mona is 25 sloim. So in order to give the extra fifth, which is really a quarter, as we said, yeah, what's a quarter of the of 25 sloim? Quarter of 25 doesn't go nicely. It's six and a bit, six and a quarter, right? So six is, so six is, so that takes you up to 25 plus six gets you to 31. So she has to give shloishim ve'echad sela plus that quarter of a sela is one dinar because there's 4 dinars in a sela. So she gives 31 selas plus one dinar. And then when he writes down in the ksuba, he reduces it by a fifth. He ends up with one mona. Yeah, so this is just arithmetic. Over arba meyos, if he's running in the ksuba 400, so again he has to add on a fifth, which is really a quarter, and he nesenas chamesh meyos. She has to add on. She gives 500. What's been evaluated in the inflated price of 500, he writes 400. The Gemara is going to ask all this. Why is it giving you all these different examples? I can do arithmetic myself and work out what's a quarter. So why do I need to have all these examples? Okay, turning the page. Mashachasan paisik, hu paisik pachas chaymish. That means even if the chasan is evaluating it, not only when the color side evaluates it, that they inflate it, but even if the chasan is evaluating it, he's also going to inflate it. And the Gemara is going to say, in all of these cases, why the Mishnah has to keep saying the same thing over and over again. Says the Gemara, so the first thing was about the fact that he can tell the brother-in-law, I'm not giving you. Yeah, when the son-in-law that he wanted to give the money to dies, he can tell the Yovim, I don't want to give you the money. Tana Rabbana with Undin Abraisa, Ein Tzarich Le'Marishin Talmachachem V'Sheni Yam Oretz. Needless to say, if the first guy was a Talmachachem and the second guy was an Yam Oretz, that the father-in-law can say, I wanted to give the money to the first guy, he was a Talmachachem, I don't want to give it to you, and you... because you're an Amoritz. But even the other way around, Ela afilo rishon Amoritz sheni Talmud Chacham. Yeah, even if the second guy, a bigger Talmid Chacham, so you would think that if he wants to give money to the first guy, it's how much more so he would give it to the second guy. Yachal Leimar, he can still say, L'achicha yisi reitze litein l'chai, yafshid litein. He can say, even though you're a bigger Talmid Chacham, but I don't like you. So I want to give the other guy, I didn't want to give you. It's not about how big a Talmid Chacham he is. It's the total discretion of the Shver, who he wants to give his money to. Okay. Now, next one. Paskal hachnas the elef dinar. So we had all these examples. Yeah? Is we had the example of... So first we had a statement to reduce it by a fifth. Then we had a statement if it was a mona that she has to give 31 sloim in a dinar. Then we said if it was 400 tzuz, she has to give 500 tzuz. Then we said again that if a chosin evaluates, it has to be less than a fifth. So we seem to have said the same thing four times in the Mishnah. So why does the Mishnah say it four times? Freda Gomorrah Hainu Reisha. It's the Reisha, it's the next one, it's the third one, it's all the same thing, you're just repeating yourself. So the Gomorrah says it's teaching you something different each time. Tana Shuna Rabba. So first it starts with a big amount. Well, a mona is a big amount. Yeah, 100 zuzim. No, sorry, 100. 100 is a small amount because they went up to 400. So it's got a big amount is the 400. So first of all, it wants to tell you. It wants to tell you when there's a big amount. Yeah. Oh, that was, sorry. The very first one where it gives you a rule without giving you a number, that's referring to the 1,000 because we started off with the elef dinar of cash and then it talked about elef, so therefore it was talking about elef dinar of property, yeah? So that was 1,000 dinars. So that was a big amount. So it tells you that even when it's a big amount, it's inflated and he's entitled to deduct it, or he should deduct it by a fifth. And then Katani Shomazuta. And then it talks about a smaller amount. Yeah, the one it's only 100 zuz. So it starts off with 1,000. Next case in the Mishnah is 100. To tell you that the inflationness of how much they inflate the advertised price by is the same percentage regardless of whether it's expensive things or not expensive things. And then the last two repetitions is Tana Shuma Di Dei and Tana Shuma Di Da to tell you that even when he evaluates it, it's the same. You might have thought that when her family is evaluating it, they want to make themselves look good. So they're saying, oh, she brought in $100 worth of chickens. Yeah, but you would think that if she just brings it stam and he takes it to evaluate, he's got no incentive to inflate it. So therefore, when he evaluates it, it should be the normal amount that he said. So therefore, the Mishnah is telling you no, because he wants to also make his bride look good. So he goes around telling everybody, my bride gave me $100 worth of chickens. Yeah, but it wasn't really $100, he's just trying to make it sound good. So that means even if he's the one who's giving the amount, he's telling everybody the amount, is also he inflates it. So that's why the Mishnah has to repeat it to get that point across. Okay. Next one. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Paskal lahachnes like Ksofim. If she said she's going to bring in cash, Ksofim means money, cash. Is Sala Nasa Shisha Dinrim. So here we go again. One seller becomes worth six dinners. It's again the same thing. Seller is supposed to be four dinners. Yeah? So what did we say? That with cash, he has to, if it's $1,000, he writes 1,500. So if it's four dinners, he writes six. So it's again repeating itself. Let's discuss again, yeah? Then it says, okay, so that's statement number one. Then comes the Mishnah, Hachosin mekabel olav asara dinrin lekupa. Lechol mona v'mona. For every mona, which is 100, what do we say, 100 dinners, yeah? A mon is 100 dinars. Mm-hmm. For every 100 dinars that she brings into the marriage, he gives her 10 dinars for the kupa. What's the kupa? The kupa is a box of spices, perfumes, that a woman uses to perfume herself. So that's an extra thing we haven't mentioned yet. So the perfume fund, he has to provide for the perfume fund 10 dinars for each mon that she brings in. We're going to see exactly what does that mean. 10 dinars, what, per day, per week, per month, forever? What's going on here? Shimon Gamliel says, look, enough of all of this confusing stuff. Everything is according to the custom of the place. Whatever the custom is, that's what you do. And I don't need to start worrying about what all of these things are. Okay. So first of all, the Gemara asks the very first statement, yeah, that says that when she brings in cash, she has to add on 50%. So therefore, the four becomes six. Is Hainu Pesach connected to Chamisha Asamona? That's the same thing as the previous Mishnah, which said that 1,000 becomes 1,500. Is the same thing as four becomes six. Yeah, same proportion. Why are you repeating yourself? So again, the Gemara answers, Tana Iska Rabba, Vatana Iska Zuta. It mentions a large amount, it mentions a small amount. And this is slightly different from the case of the Metaltalin. The Metaltalin, the point was that they inflate it because they want to make it look good. So that doesn't apply in cash. So first they had to tell me by cash that even if it's a large amount, first they told me about Metaltalin, whether it's expensive or it's $100 worth, or whatever, $1,000 worth, that the same rules apply. And now it's telling me that about cash. Whether she's giving $1,000 or she's giving $4, the rule of adding on 50% applies. Yeah, why do I need to tell me both? Why should I think it's different? The whole idea we said was, why does he add on? Because cash is easily investable, so he makes money straight away, so he has to put in more. So why do I have to tell me both by a large amount of money and a small amount of money? Says the Gemara, it needs to tell me that. If it told me when there's lots of money, $1,000, is the Nafish Ravcha. Because he makes a lot of profit. Once you get a decent amount of money and you invest it, you're talking serious money here. Yeah. So therefore, he should have to write down the 1,500 because he's going to get, he's going to get rich from this. Aval iska zuta, but if she brings in $4, so how much is he making already? He's going to invest the $4. It's not going to do much for his piggy bank. Yeah. There's therefore the zuta ravcha. It's a very small amount of profit. So I would say maybe he just write down the $4 that he got, and the earnings are trivial, so just leave it at four. Therefore it says no, you got to be punctilious. If it's $4, you write down $6, even though it's a small amount. If you told me only the small amount of money, the zuter zuyuni, but at least it's easy to manage. Yeah, if you're managing a fund and the fund has $4 in it, it's fairly easy. It's fairly easy to manage that fund. You don't lose too much sleep over it. Aval iska rabba, but if you're managing a fund with lots of money in it, the nafriziyuna, that you've got lots of effort, lots of nervousness, lots of things to worry about, Yehuda, yeah? Is emaloi, so therefore you might think that he, yotza schara befseda, he might make money on it, but he's also not good for his nerves and for his heart and all that sort of stuff. Therefore, you might think he doesn't have to write in the extra tzricha. Therefore, the Mishnah has to tell me that in that case, he also does. Yeah, either way. Okay, then we had the chasin is makabel of asara dinar lekupa, 10 dinars for the perfume box. So first the Gemara says, my kupa. So I told you it's a perfume box, but the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah just says the box. It's the mystery box. What's in the box? So the Gemara says, my kupa, what's in the box? Amar ravashi kupa shel basamim. A box of spices, perfumes. This only applies in Yerushalayim because that's where they put on perfume. The rest of the world, they don't put perfume. Well, that was in those days. Nowadays, they do it pretty much everywhere. Boya Ravashi. Now, Ravashi asked the following questions. First of all, you said for every mona that she brings in, it has to be 10 dinars into the perfume box. But when you say she brought in a mona, are we talking about the mona based on the inflated price? Or is it the mona on the uninflated price? The mona hanishum or the mona hamiskabel? You've got to be precise. Yeah? Which calculation are you talking about? Im tim tzolema mona hamiskabel, and if you'll assume that it's talking about the real price. Because now we're dealing with real money, so forget about the inflated price that they go around saying it was $100 worth of chickens. Yeah, so it's under the $80 worth of chickens. But is it Yom Rishon? Does that mean that it's a one-off on the day when she comes into the marriage and brings her money, her dowry? So on that day, he gives her 10 dinars to put in the box. And that's it. Transaction completed. Full stop. Oy, kol yom v'yom. Or does it mean... What was that? Or does it mean? My phone's not even on. Yeah. Is your phone? Strange things are happening. Okay, sorry about that. Or is it every single day? So does it mean a once off? he gives her $10 for perfume, or is it, I mean, he gives it to her every single day? And if it means every single day, $10 for perfume, is how for how long? Is it Sabbath Rishayna? Is it only for the first week? Or he calls Shabbos to Shabbos, or maybe every week? And into to learn call Shabbos to Shabbos. If you say every week, she has to keep giving. Ah, this is fun. $10 a day, going on more for each week as it goes. Every day, $10 is a chodesh rishon. How long does that go for? The first month, I call chodesh for chodesh, or every month. Keep going. Intim to learn call chodesh for chodesh. And if it's every month, is it shana rishona? Is it only in the first year? I call shana vishona, or is it every year, forever and ever? Teiku. Tosfos says it's impossible.
It's like the joke of the son that asks his father, how much does it cost to get married?
Yeah.
So the thing he says, I don't know, son, I'm still paying.
Yeah. So Tosfos says over here, so Rashi first of all says, I can't work out what all these questions are. It doesn't seem to follow. And he sort of says it, he's left with the Eini Yodea Liyashiv. Tosfos says it doesn't make any sense over here, because if you're going to end up with the conclusion of every year he keeps going and he's giving 10 dinars, then he's very quickly going to give much more money than what she brought in. She brings, for every 100 dinars that she brings in, he has to give 10 dinars just for perfume. Yeah, and it's per day, per week, per year, whatever.
It would have meant a reasonable amount.
But then how quickly will he end up giving more money than she brought in the first place? Doesn't make any sense.
No, the money for perfume would have meant a reasonable amount. Not just
So the whole thing doesn't follow.
Every second.
So he says on the side, it means...
However reasonable it would take to use it.
Yeah, well, Tosfos says it means... So it must. Well, the question here must mean... The 10 dinner calculation is definitely once off, says Tosfos. And the questions that he's asking afterwards is that he has to, after that, it's just normal according to her needs. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So as time goes on, he has to also pay for her perfume. So then it's a question of whether he gives her a lump sum or does he give her an ongoing sum. That's where Tosfos learns over here. Okay, moving on. We had her yesterday, didn't we? The daughter of Naktiman Ben Gurion, so he was a rich bloke, Naktiman Ben Gurion. So she presumably brought in lots of money in the dowry. So because she had lots of money in the dowry, so for each mona of the dowry, there was 10 zuz of perfume money. Is poskel lochachamim arba meyesahuvim. On that first day, they gave her 400 gold coins to put into her besamim box. That was the cheshbon. And so she said to them, "Kach tifzakul ivneisechem, you should be zoiche to give this to your own daughters." And this time, onu achrei amen. They said amen. If you remember yesterday, when she said she was then a shemeres yovim, so that meant her husband died, and they gave her mezonos while she was waiting for the second husband to marry her. And she told them a bracha, you should be zeicha to get as much as I got for your daughters. And they didn't answer amen, because to do the same to her, their daughters would imply that their husbands have to die. And so they didn't like that bracha, which was really not such a bracha, and so they didn't answer amen. In this case, when she said that your daughter should get all this perfume, they did answer amen. So what's going on here? So it's interesting. So Tosfos says they answered amen over here, because in this case the husband was still alive and they were paskening based on him being alive how much he has to give. So therefore, what did they give to her? They didn't kill her husband, they just gave her the perfume money. So when she said, you know, tisku l'mitzvahs, you should get it too to your daughters, so they said amen to that, because nothing bad involved. That's how Tosfos learns. Unfortunately, Rashi said that we're talking about that her husband died. So if her husband died, I don't know how Rashi is explaining onu achareha amen. Yeah, so maybe Rashi didn't have those words at the end of his Gemara. It's pretty hard to say that even that her husband died and then she said that your daughter should be the same, but they said, yeah, amen. So it must be, Rashi didn't have the words onu achareha amen there, or maybe he had the words lo onu achareha amen, the same as we had yesterday. Okay, now that we've talked about Nachdimon Ben Gurion's daughter, we get a little bit sidetracked over here. So you can relax. Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale. Tana Rabbanan. Ma'aseh Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, she'yareichav al hachamor. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was going for a nice little donkey ride. V'hayotzei Yerushalayim, and he was riding out of Yerushalayim. V'hayatalmidav ma'achin achrov, and his students were walking behind him, so the donkey wasn't going that fast, I'm tipping, because the students followed him. Ra'a riba achas shehayseh malaketa sa'irim mi'ben glolei behemtei shel arvi. And she saw there was one lass, and she was collecting the barley from the manure of the animals of the Bedouins. So it's pretty degrading. Like, she's so poor that all she could get was the barley that was coming out of the manure of the Bedouins' horses. As Kevin Charasa Oisoi, when she saw Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai coming, Nis'atfa Besara, so she fixed up her tichel and covered up her hair. The Amdalafana, when she came to him and stood there, Amra Loy, and she said, Rabbi Parnaseni, she said, give me tzedakah.
Feed me.
She's poor, obviously. That's why she's collecting the barley of the horses. Excuse me. So why does he? So she says, I've got a better way. I'm going to ask for a donation from Rechel Mazakai instead of collecting barley from the horses. Is Omar Law? So Rechel says, Biti Miat. Who are you? Or Bas Miat, if you take out the yod. Which Bas Miat is the same thing, of course, that Eliezer said to Rivka. It's the expression of Chumash. Whose daughter are you, or who are you? Omra Loi, she says to him, Bas Nachdimon Ben Gurion, and I am the daughter of Nachdimon Ben Gurion. It's Omra Loi, so he says, what? Biti, Momen Shol Beis Avi, Cheichan Halach, what happened to your father's money? Yeah? It would be like, you know, what's her name? Pratt. Yeah?
Jesus.
No. The mistress, the daughter. Where's your money? What are you doing collecting horses' manure? You should. Where's all your father's money? Zarmaloi Rebbe, loy kedain moslin moslav rishalayim. Don't they make a moshel? The word moshel in Aramaic is the same as moshel in Hebrew. Don't they make the following moshel in rishalayim? Melach momen chaser. That if you want to salt away money. I think that's the expression of salting things away. Never knew that. But it's a melach moment, because salt is preservative. If you want to preserve your money, so you salt it away, is so there's two versions over here. Chaser means that he has to give some away. If you want your money to be preserved, you have to give some away, which means you have to give tzedakah. If you want to keep your wealth, you have to give tzedakah. V'yomri lo chesed. Some say the word, it shouldn't say chaser, it should say chesed with a dalet instead of the resh. It means the same thing. You have to do kindness. So therefore, and he didn't do tzedakah. He didn't give enough tzedakah, so he lost all his money. So now I'm poor. So she says, okay, well, that was your father. What about Shobes Chamichei Chanu? What about the Shver? Where's his money? Amraloi, she said, the Shver was taka nice guy. Unfortunately, he got together with my father, and he managed not only to lose his own money, but he managed to lose the Shver's money also. So they're both broke. So now I'm in deep. What I'm collecting is Amraloi. So she says to him, Rebbe, Zocher ata shechasamta ksubasi. Hey, you remember you signed on the ksuba? Yeah, you were one of the signatories of my ksuba. She says to him. So he turns to his students and he says, yeah, I taka remember that I signed to a ksuba, shalzoy of this girl. I read it, and there was elef alofim din rezahav mi beis aviha. There was 1,000 thousands, that makes a million, right? A million dinars, golden dinars, was written in there with the dowry from her father, chutz mishal chamiya, aside from the shver. Yeah, so there was a lot of money in that ksuba, and it's all gone. Oy vey. It's bacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai started crying. V'yomar, and he said, Ashreichem Yisrael, you are fortunate, Yidin, that bizman she'oisin v'tzayna shomaka, and when you do what God wants, ain't kol umma v'loshin shaletis behem. no nation can rule over you. If you don't do what God wants, is moisron biyad umo shvela. Not only do you get put under the thumb of the goyim, but a lowly goyim. Rashi says that these Arabs are called lowly shvalim, lowly nation, because they live in tents in the desert. So that's why I call them Bedouins. Yeah, the lowest, even the Bedouins are, even the Arabs consider them lower. Yeah, the lowest people. The lo biyad umo shvela. Not that you are, not are you subservient to the Bedouins. You are subservient to the horses of the Bedouins. So when they don't do what God says, this is what ends up happening. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was crying. Fred, the Gemara, to finish off, 1 minute. Nakdim ben Gurion lo yavat tzedaka. Nakdim ben Gurion didn't give tzedaka. That's why he lost all his money. Who won? Just a cotton picking minute. V'hatanya, we learned in a brisa. Amro lo nakdim ben Gurion. They said about Nakdim and Ben Gurion, when he used to walk from his house to the Beis HaMedrash, he was very finicky and he didn't want to walk on the street. So they would put out the red carpet, a silk carpet they put on the ground, so he shouldn't have to walk on the ground like everybody else. He walked on this silk carpet. And then when he got there, following him came the poor, and they folded it up and they kept it, Vice Lewis, yeah? Mm-hmm. So every day when he went to the Beis HaMedrash, he donated to the poor this silk carpet that they could use, you know, for tzedakah. So what do you mean he didn't do tzedakah and therefore he got punished? So the Gemara answers, Iboy Seima, one answer is that even though he gave it, L'chvoydehu da'avad, but he wasn't doing it for tzedakah, he was doing it for himself. Because he wanted to have the honor of walking down the red carpet. The fact that they got the tzedakah afterwards was a byproduct. He wasn't even thinking about them. He was thinking only about himself. He didn't give as much tzedakah as he should have done. According to his wealth, he should have done more. Like people say, lefum gamla shichna. According to the camel is the burden. That means if you got a big strong camel that can carry a lot, so you give him a lot to carry. And therefore, according to his wealth, he should have given more tzedakah. This is an interesting concept that he didn't give enough, or he did it l'chvoidoy, and therefore he was punished. We have a Gemara in Kiddushin that says that if a person says, I'm giving money to tzedakah, b'shvil shayichya b'ni, and he's got ulterior motives, he's doing it because I wanted the schus of this tzedakah, that my son should be healthy, whatever, as I raise it tzadik gomor. So it's a good thing. Because he did the poil, he gave the tzedakah. So it's very interesting to see over here that because he did it l'chvoidoy. I suppose the difference is that there, even though he was doing it with an ulterior motive, but the poil, he said, I'm giving the tzedakah. It sounds like when he was giving this carpet, he wasn't even giving the tzedakah. He was only thinking about himself and doing the carpet. But then it just so happened that he was too lazy to take away the carpet, so they took it. But he wasn't even intending to give it to them at all, l'chayra. So that's why, according to that, that's why he would be not such a good thing. Okay, leave it there.